Alrighty, folks, it's a car cast, right? We talk cars. So, folks, I don't drive scared. I drive a little more cautious. Because I drive on this thing called I-4, and it's horrible. You've got idiots from New York and other states. You've got idiots from here, and you got old people. You got people who are talking on their phone, looking at the phone while they're driving. You got people doing their makeup while they're driving. So it's 60, and you got people going 90, you got people going 50. And it drives me nuts, because people are just there savage for no reason. I've been driving this route for a while now. This job, by the last job, was right down the street from this one. I take I-4 to go to church. I used to take I-4 to go to my pediatrician, for a lot of reasons. I used it all last week to go back and forth. I went to the science museum with my kids. I went to the car museum. And we went to other places. So I'm on this all the time. Morning, noon, night, whatever. But when I used to leave my other job at like 4:30, I would take what we call John Young Parkway. I would take the streets, basically, to Orange Ave, to 436, and be like, I'm not doing this. It was just too much, like, people were just driving like savages. I get it, you're racing to get home, but if you know you're going to push with folks, I don't see the need to race from bumper to bumper. Like right now, two cars have both been around me, and I'm ahead of both of them. And I'm going with the flow of traffic for the most part. And if you want to go faster, go in the left lane. I'm in the middle lane going middle speed. But these cars are running fast, jamming their brakes, almost hitting people, cutting people off, not signaling. No, multiple moving infractions while they're driving. I don't see the need, folks. I mean, I want to get there in one piece. I like to drive safe. You know, I put on some music. I listen to Pastor usually. If I'm not doing a podcast, I have some instrumentals, some smooth jams when I'm leaving my job. So I can have some music while my windows are down, but nothing's offensive or even implicitly or implies something. Nothing, you know. Just I'm in the school, right? You lead by doing. I just, maybe one of you can email me, tony@changingadvance.com, or buy a copy of my book, and then from there you can, this guy just basically cut me off, but he signaled, but that's about 2 inches from me. Good job. And another thing, folks, it's always the little guys. It's the little Corollas or the big minivans. It's one of the two. It's really not often the guys with the, you know, full size or just under full size, like I guess I have a Camry. No. It really isn't. I'm telling you, I see all these people speeding, and I don't understand, folks. I was saying, maybe one of you can message me and say, let me know why you think all these jackholes are being jackholes on the road. Not jackholes, jackholes. You know what I mean? Because this is my thing, folks. If I can see the red lights coming, why jam my brakes when I can start slowing down now? We sped up to 70, now I'm dropping to 49, let's say 40-ish. Because I know, and this is the thing, folks, if you drive the same road every day, you know the patterns of traffic. You know, folks, I can almost tell you who's going to cut me off if I'm seeing them, or they're coming up in the rear view. I don't remember making one, you know, you can't drive in your rear view. I did a podcast about it. You can't live in the rear view either. But, you know, I'm always checking because I see those people driving like fools, being erratic. I'm like, yeah, watch, this one's going to cut off. My wife's like, really? I'm like, watch. Boom, done. Like, yeah, they jump on the road. They're cutting people off four lanes. They're going to express in the other lane. What's the need, folks? You're going to get there maybe 2 minutes faster than me. Most of the time you're not, because I'm keeping a consistent speed. I'm not really stopping. And then if my boy Jay, who's a bus driver, at one point, we would drive into Manhattan from the Bronx. Well, he would drive from Yonkers, pick me up, and we'd go down to Times Square to go to a Virgin Records, because we knew that whenever our favorite artist, Cannabis, dropped an album, that was where we could get it the day it dropped. So he'd get out of work, pick me up, and in the evening, we would do that. We'd get the album, and he would pull up. We couldn't park, because there's no parking if it was really expensive. And keep it simple, all done, no problem. You know what happens? I'd run in with the money, get our two copies, and we'd go back to usually my house or his house, and do a little listening party. I still listen to Cannabis. He's got tons of tracks. He's got one, he's got a song called Kaiju Karaoke, Lord Cyborg, tons of other ones. Mass Malthusian Delusions, you know, he did an EP with, what's his name? Not EPMD, I can't think of his name now. Pete Rock. That's a great EP. I think out of like six or seven tracks is one I'm like, about, but he does stuff with words, folks. It blows my mind. So I'll listen to that while I drive, too. But basically, folks, I want to, you know, have a leisurely pace. Like I said, so I'm listening to this guy. And like I said, my friend Jay, he would get there. We would leave mad late, but he wouldn't speed down the highway. You know, we'd take the Bronx River, well, he's from New York, to the FDR. We'd hop off, cut across, get there fast. I'm like, yo, you're not even going fast. So he's like, we're going fine. Because he was able to maintain movement. We weren't stopping. You know, if traffic was, you know, slowing down, he knew how to just keep the car moving. So, folks, my goal is just get in this middle lane and keep going. I slow down. If I see the cars ahead of me slowing down, I'm going to slow down now. Why hit the brakes harder? First off, you're going to wear your brakes out more. You're putting more wear and tear on the car. Before, you know, the harder you got to stop it for. And, folks, I know, I exit 81-ish, I'm going to have traffic. I think it's 81 or 82. Exit 84, 85, maybe. I'm pulling up on exit 90 almost, folks. That's a mile away from me. It's already slowing down because of exit 90. So we're going to get the people coming from off the express. They're going to jump. This guy's going to jump. I saw him coming, didn't signal. I told you. You can almost see people's heads moving in their car and what they're going to do half the time. But I know right about here, actually, we're passing 88, which is where I get off for church. I know it slows down right now, just a little bit. And then everyone's going to hop on and off, and everyone's trying to merge. You got a lot of people in the left lane who want to get to the right lane. So there's going to be two exit lanes. Because we, you know, get off by, I think that's Maitland, I guess. And then, you know, I know what happened. Then after that, there's another entrance. And you have a lot of those people are going to stay on to exit 92, and a lot of them who aren't. But the problem is half of them, like I said, are jackals. They're going slower. They're going 50 while everyone's trying to go 70, so they're creating a backlog, a jam, a problem, a conundrum. There's this other guy here right now. He's passing me, about to pass me. He's got this Honda Civic. Well, it's a Honda Civic or an Accord? I don't know. I gotta see, it's an Accord. But he got it lowered. He's got a kid. He's got his trim. He's always in the fast lane, and he's never farther than like a car ahead of me. And he tries to speed, but you know what? He really can't because it's his skirt kit. He hits the bumpers a little too hard. He's going to break it anyway. He's got his rims tilted to the side and the back. It's like, okay, you're cool. You got your car all fancied out, but what are you doing, bro? And it's funny because now, same thing, the MX-5 that was behind me, they're both just passing me. I've been ahead of them for like 3 or 4 miles. And they were in the fast lane. So see, folks, all these cars that came in, they were trying to speed, and they were nowhere ahead of me. Because the problem is, they got to get out the emergency lane, not the emergency, the express lane. Are those going to cut through them too? So now you have an exit, people entering and exiting on two sides of you. So there's no need to rush, folks. I'm going to leisurely 26. You know why? Because everyone else is going 30. I'm leaving three car lengths in front of me, and I'm watching the brake lights. I'm watching the motorcycles who are white lining. See, I'm trying to keep myself from having to jam the brakes or try to jam a lane over or try not to hit somebody, try and avoid somebody hitting me, which I did a podcast I think I ever posted on the last big hurricane, and I was still working my last job before this one. And they were like, they actually closed the call center. They were like, yeah, we weren't going to, and they did, and it ended up being too bad, but whatever, it's not the point. But this guy almost hit me. He was racing, and he was on the phone, and I happened to look at rear view because I was just like, I think I yawned or something, I scratched my nose and looked. And I saw him, I could see he was close to his face. He jammed the brakes, and he was just like skidding towards me. And I'm like, he's looking, he tries to get over. I'm like, I was able to get forward because I have space, about 3 feet. And now he missed me by like 6 inches, folks. That's how close he was. Had I not left space, I would have been in pain. I would have to do my car, all this other crap. You know, in Florida, I have 4 years to file my claim and see it through. So, you know, I would have had time. But that's not the point. I don't want that inconvenience in my life, folks. I want to be able to just cruise home and relax. Like, getting home faster, I could jam it, folks. I could jam it and get home about 5 minutes faster. But I can't do that in the morning because I get off the highway and hop on the street. Do the reverse of what I'm doing now. So now I'm back up to 60. There's people trying to go 70, but the people in front of me are going 60, so there's nowhere for you to go. You're going to switch lanes to go to a slower lane. Here comes a little guy in the little red Chevy Cruze. He's speeding. We're pulling up on the next exit, and it's about to slow down. There are the brake lights. See, folks, if you keep your awareness up and time your patterns and see what's going on around you, so just like jamming through every day and like, oh, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'll fly whatever I want. I can do what I want. You're my own boss. Okay, yeah, you are. But how much of a boss are you in a casket? How much of a boss are you learning how to walk again? How much of a boss are you the feeding tube in because the car rammed through and flipped over? No, you're not. You're not. Look at this guy. Didn't even signal. See, folks, when I was talking to my car, I was like, you know, it's like, I don't like all this surveillance crap. So there's a need for cops. No question about that. We need some kind of law and order. I said, but people are going, this guy's going to come up behind me on the right. Watch him cut me off. Cut me off. Here we go. Hey, he's not cutting me off. Wow. Got a Puerto Rican Mullen Lab school in the back window. That's pretty cool. I've never seen that. He actually signaled nicely. Wow, okay. He was flying so fast. I was sure this guy was going to come around me. And I'm going the speed limit. No one else was going faster, maybe 4 miles faster than me. The next exit, but folks, if you're just watching the terrain and you're timing where you're going, you're doing the same route every day. You can check out mentally, yes, partially, because you're just driving. If you're a good driver and you're mentally aware, you don't require a billion brain cells to do this job. I tell myself all the time, this is the easiest thing I do in my life, probably, is driving. It can be the most dangerous for other people, but it's easy. It doesn't require a lot of my you know, I'm not jumping through mental hoops to get this job done. It's not required. It's not like taking a law exam, which is interesting because in D.C. now they do not have. They're going to get rid of the need for the bar exam for lawyers. But let's get out of there and segue to something. So this big old ship crashed in Maryland after it was leaving, I think it was called Dali. I forgot, but basically this massive cargo ship crashed and took out a whole bridge. That bridge has, I think, I-795, which is a vein off of I-95, which cuts through our whole country. Something like, I don't know, 50,000 cars a day go over that. That bridge is in the water. It collapsed. 20 people in, I think, only one or two were pulled out. There were people fixing the bridge at that point. From what I understand, the pose of the boat had lost power, let them know they lost power, that it might hit, and then it hit right. I mean, folks, the conspiracy theorists are going crazy. I'm not even gonna lie. They're all over Instagram, like, whoa. Some people are saying that, you know, there was explosions. To me, it looked like the cable was broken. You're seeing the lights from that, but you never know. But that ship lost power, whatever, crashed, took out a whole bridge. There's people missing. And that port, folks, is one of the most, it's a very important port. It last year took a record shipping, but it took us like $80 billion worth of equipment. And the thing it takes, folks, that port takes in a lot of cars, heavy metal machinery like cement trucks, tow trucks, farm equipment. So now, the thing, folks, is you got to think about the logistics now. All those ships that were there have to be rerouted to get out if they can, or their stuff's moved somehow. All the ones that are going to come in have to be routed and come all the way around somewhere else. So you're going to have, you might have food delays. You're going to have equipment delays. Now, if the farmer can't get his equipment, he can't get you his food. Now, folks, so there's a lot going on. That's why it's not worth me rushing. Now, I'm not saying that boat driver was rushing, but I believe that same boat had an accident 2 years ago, 3 years ago. No, might have been more. I think it was 2016. And that investigation, I think, is still current. So, you know, there's something don't make no sense here. But, you know, it could have been human error. It could have been the boat error. It could have been the tinfoil hat crew. I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is that people are dead. Somebody knew something right. Somebody knew something right. I can tell you that much. And a whole bridge was taken out. Not knocked down. It is gone. Take your time, folks. Don't rush everywhere. I told my 7-year-old time, I said, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. What that means, folks, is that when you're rushing, you can't get it done. I think it was a Chinese story or Japanese. I forgot. It seemed in the 30 Strategies War, 40 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. He's so, you know, this guy and his kid had a bunch of packages and they had to get to town before the gates locked for the night. They're stuck outside the bandits. So they asked the ferryman, they said, hey, by the time you get us there, can we make it? Will we make it if we, you know, is it feasible? And he's like, if you take your time and walk slow, he's like, you'll be good to go. And they're like, okay, whatever you say. So they get off the ferry and they're walking, it's getting dark and they get scared. So start walking fast, start running. As they're running, the wire that's holding their packages together, all these notes they're carrying, letters and paper goods and all this, rips and falls. Now they have to stop, collect everything, organize everything, try and bundle everything. And while doing this process, my friends, the gate is locked and they're stuck outside for the night. So slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Be careful when you're driving. You don't need to be on somebody's bumper either. What's that they brake checking? What are you going to do? Let's say your brakes are older. What are you going to do? Are you even thinking about that? What I see is a lot of people are just like rushing everywhere. They're not thinking. They're just like, I gotta get where I gotta go. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And it doesn't benefit you. It doesn't benefit you to be rushing everywhere. Especially for you entrepreneurs, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not. Even your sales, they're not, you know, if you're selling life insurance, let's say, that's not always a marathon. It's not always a sprint. You know, if you can jack out a bunch of quick sales, yeah. Now, if you're a phone call center person, a call center person on phone, digital, computer, whatever, I get it. You got to jack out some calls. You got to make some money. Yeah, that's different. But even that, that's still a marathon because you got to get through each day and get sales each day and get your numbers up so you can make your money. You want to maximize your commission. So that might be more of like a relay race, but you're really not passing the baton to anyone except for yourself. So you still got to pace yourself. And I saw one time I was working with this guy, Richard was there. He's like, hey, she's burning through calls. You got to do something. I was like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that can be done. He said, come on, your ass. So I went and asked, like, no, we can't pull off the phone. She got to a person. I was like, let me see. And eventually, it works. And I got off the phone. She's a premier agent, we call it. You know, the higher tier, you get better quality calls, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think she ever got stacked out. She left the company and came back. She came back when I went to sales, actually, after I became a sales manager. I think we voted for her to go home sooner because we're like, we know she's going to deliver the goods. She always does. I think she does real estate on the side. But, you know, fight for your people, folks. But don't rush. Don't run. You're getting nothing by it, folks. It's like the teacup Yorkie barking at the Rottweiler. I'm like, that Rottweiler's going to bite you, and you'll be gone. Because half you'll be in his stomach. gonna say bye bye. That's over for you folks. Why race your little Toyota Yaris or your Mazda 3 or whatever you're driving and get smashed into the wall because you weren't paying attention? Not to mention, folks, what if something happens and you're going too fast? Now you can't react the way you need to. You jam the brakes, what happens? You hit some oil in your speeding, what happens? Your tire blows out in your speeding, what happens? I think there's a lot of idiotic laws out there, but there's a lot of stuff that makes sense, too. Move with purpose, folks. Don't just drive all willy-nilly. Don't be crazy. You got this, folks. There's nothing you need to worry about. Do what needs to be done. Live your life the way you need to live it. And listen to my podcast. Buy my book. Hook me up. Come on, man. I'm trying to retire, man. Still want to work every day. What's up with that? No, seriously, folks. Check my book out, Born Again. I'm working on 6 more books. I have tons of content to post here and on YouTube. My phone actually deleted a bunch from here and put it onto the cloud, the Google Drive. So I got to go on there and transfer the videos back and see how I post them. I've never done it from there. So we're going to get it done, folks. But shout me how I know what you think, folks. Don't speed, all right? Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Peace.